Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday, I noticed that unmistakable Disney influence on America's children and families, Disney and Hollywood generally, how they influence kids to behave rudely. Cheryl and I brought our three little boys to their T-ball games, and there were four teams there with kids ranging in age from 3 to 6 years old. And during one of the games, from the sidelines, a mom was cheering for her little boy. And she was cheering no different than any other parent there, just nice encouragement to her son. When her daughter, maybe the girl was 9 years old, said to the mother, "Would you be quiet?" And the mother said, I got out a pen and jotted this down. The daughter said to the mother, "Would you be quiet?" And the mother asked, nicely, she asked, "Are you talking to me?" And the girl said, "Yes, you." And the mother responded very kindly to her daughter and said, "This is my job, to cheer." And the girl said, "Then you have a lousy job." That's the Disney influence on America's children. Remember the animated classic Lady and the Tramp? Well, we had the sequel on DVD, Lady and the Tramp 2. And we watched it once with our little boys, ages 3, 4, and 6. And of course, they loved it. And as soon as it was over, we sent them off to bed, brushed their teeth, tucked them in. We read them 3 Bible stories every night, say a prayer, sing a song, put them to bed. And then we came back out and I took the DVD and I broke it and threw it in the trash. The movie, this Lady and the Tramp 2, it tells the story of the offspring, the son of Lady and the Tramp, these two dogs, and their puppy is now grown into a teenager. And he gets into big trouble in the movie, and he's eventually rescued by his father, I guess Tramp Sr. Well, that sounds like a nice family-friendly plot, right, for your kids? And it could be, except that Disney presented the teenage dog, the teenager in the movie, in such a hateful and rebellious way. The scenes were intense, with the son expressing his utter disgust of his father to his father's face. And then the son ran away from home. And of course, then he gets in more trouble than he can handle, and his loving father saves him. And that's great, except that we're not going to provide training materials for our own kids on how to be intensely hateful to your parents. And that's how we see Lady and the Tramp 2, this Disney movie, as training material for your young kids to lose their sweetness and their innocence, to become callous and disrespectful, rude and rebellious toward loving parents. So we got rid of the Disney DVD. We just got rid of it. Now, and that's an example of how our culture, our mainstream culture, is going over the edge. The Denver Post today has a front page story on the Patriot Act, and it's a lengthy story, and it describes in here the most terrible provision of the Patriot Act that grants the government the power to demand your library records if they're investigating someone for terrorism. And in this entire lengthy article, you think that once they could mention that the government has always been able to obtain library records, phone records, credit card records, if they're investigating, let's say, a rapist, somebody accused or suspected of committing a rape or a murder or a kidnapping. But just they couldn't do that if it was a terrorist. So the Patriot Act corrected that oversight and said, just like we can get records investigating a suspected murderer, so too Muhammad Atta, a terrorist. And you think once the Denver Post, but no, with their twisted reporting, they seem to, they're bent on presenting one side of the arguments. And who better to comment on that generally than the founder and president of the Media Research Center, that's America's largest media watchdog group, L. Brent Bozell. Mr. Bozell, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and you've got an excellent new book out, Weapons of Mass Distortion.
And well, it's been about 4 years in the making, and it's finally out, and I think it makes the case that people like Al Franken are full of lots of hot air when they suggest there's any kind of a conservative domination of the national press.
Yeah, it does seem a little silly to hear liberals complain that the mainstream media is conservative. And of course, we understand that when you're on the right or left end of the spectrum, you make all your judgments from that perspective. And so left-wingers tend to think the media is conservative, and right-wingers tend to think it's liberal, but it seems to be objectively liberal. But can I ask you this to start with, Brent Bozell? Have you heard the reports of Arabs? Some Arabs have been quoted in the national media. This is going back about 3 weeks maybe, of their complaining about Al Jazeera, that Al Jazeera is pro-American and pro-Israel. And so they're protesting Al Jazeera. Did you hear those reports?
No, but I think they ought to get together with Michael Moore.
Yeah, I think so. That shows the extent to which your own bias could utterly obscure reality.
But that's the point of one of the points of this book, is to explain how reality is being obscured by the left in America today. Take a Michael Moore movie. It is a movie that is chock full of distortions and untruths. Here's a man who believes that Saudi Arabia, at the behest of the Bush administration, is hiding Osama bin Laden. I mean, this guy is just is crackers.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
It's an interesting test of the left to see who endorses this and who doesn't. You've got plenty of people, liberals, who have said, you know, I'm a proud liberal, but this is crackpot stuff. And then you've got Hillary Clinton, who introduces the movie at NEA conventions.
Yeah, right. Good point. And in that movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, he points out that while Bush was governor of Texas, American businessmen were trying to strike hundreds of millions of dollars worth of an oil deal with the Taliban in Afghanistan. And representatives of the Taliban flew to America and met with oil executives in Texas while Bush was governor. And he lays all that out in his movie to make it sound like Bush was in cahoots with the Taliban.
Exactly.
And do you know the rest of that story? Are you familiar with the part that he left out?
Go ahead and tell me.
Well, the part that he left out was that trip was authorized by the Clinton administration and Clinton State Department officials met with the Taliban during that trip. George Bush had absolutely nothing to do with it.
But this is typical. It's what I'm saying. It is typical of what the left is doing. Look, Bill Clinton has spent 3 weeks hammering and beating the living daylights out of Ken Starr and Ken Starr's agenda and Ken Starr's jihad against him.
Right.
What Bill Clinton doesn't tell anybody when he beats up on Ken Starr was that Ken Starr was appointed by Janet Reno, who worked for Bill Clinton.
Yeah, right. Very good point. And that Bill Clinton felt this was all wrong because it was just his personal weakness. But he was taking women, having sex with women, and then giving them government jobs, which we pay for with our tax dollars.
Yeah, and in all of this, I Am Triumphant coverage that Bill Clinton has been getting with Dan Rather fawning all over him, what's lost on all of this was he wasn't triumphant. He was found guilty. He was impeached for that reason. He had his bar license stripped from him from Arkansas. He received a fine for it. He was disgraced. There was nothing triumphant in what happened to Bill Clinton, and this is the key point, and this is one of the things that I tackle in the book. The Monica Lewinsky scandal was, in the final analysis, just about the least offensive scandal in the Clinton administration. And I think of all those reporters who spent day and night, week in and week out, getting Richard Nixon in 1972, getting to the bottom of Watergate, where were they with all the Clinton scandals? You name me a single Clinton scandal that's ever been resolved.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the double standard, in one sense, it's good that the media recognizes a double standard, because we right-wing conservatives, we want to be held to a higher standard. For example, if Clarence Thomas told sexual jokes to female coworkers, that would be despicable, although that was never proved, and yet the left still hates Clarence Thomas with their, you know, their modern day lynching of him, or attempted lynching. But when Bill Clinton literally gives these women, Jennifer Flowers, Monica Lewinsky, government jobs, basically paying them with tax dollars for sex, we find out that to liberals, executive privilege means you could use women sexually and pay them with tax money and get away with it if you're a left winger.
If you're a left winger, my friend.
Right.
And justify the means. And one of the things, one of the casualties of that is truth. Look, it is one thing to make an accusation. It's another thing to make a wild accusation. But it's yet another thing to make a wild accusation, and when it's proven to be untrue, continue to making it. Take, for example, and you knew it was going to happen, the continued focus on Florida. And
right.
The Chads, and the fact that George Bush may have stolen the election with the Supreme Court. You knew they were going to do this. This is the media who are
right.
going comeuppance time to build to George Bush. What they are cleverly and very, very unbelievably ignoring is the fact that there was one recount after another. Every single recount went in favor of George Bush. And even when the final recount was done, the media came back and they said, we don't accept the official recount. We're doing our own recount. And they pulled their resources and they did their recount, of course, to prove that Al Gore was the winner. 1 year later, they came out with the findings. Oops, George Bush won again, according to their own recount. And yet they continue talking about the controversy of Florida.
Right. And last night, Newt Gingrich was on CNN and they showed the quote, John Kerry saying, and the Republicans in Broward County couldn't even count the votes.
Right.
And I said to my wife, it was Democrats who were in charge. They were the county commissioners and the election judges and all. And Newt Gingrich came back after that quote and said the Democrats were in charge.
And not only that, but this is what I mean about the dishonesty. How many times have you heard the Democrats talking about every vote matters and we're going to make sure that everyone's vote counts?
Right.
Tell that to the military who tried to vote with absentee ballots and it was disqualified by the Democrats.
Right, exactly.
I mean, this is the dishonesty that I'm talking about.
Now,
that's going on. It's very dangerous to me.
Brent, your book, yeah.
Lying.
Your book is a classic. People need to read it just for the enjoyment of it. Weapons of Mass Distortion, to get the goods on the mainstream media. You've got a quote in here from the Rocky Mountain News. You know, we're broadcast out of Denver,
mm-hmm.
and we've got the Denver Post and the Rocky. By the way, you might not remember this. It was just a little news story a couple years back, but a vice president at the Denver Post was arrested for he enticed a juvenile, a young boy down in Miami Beach, to meet him for an oil massage. And he went to meet the boy, and he was arrested by undercover police officers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was a VP of the Denver Post. But you quote here a columnist that we've talked to over the years, Terry Mattingly, a religion reporter for Scripps Howard Papers. And he's describing a comment from a Rocky Mountain News editor. And Terry Mattingly was trying to say, look, we should refer to pro-lifers as pro-lifers.
Right.
We refer to pro-abortion people as pro-choice. So, and here's how he quotes the city editor of the Rocky Mountain News. He said, the editor said, look, Terry, the pro-choice people are pro-choice. The people who say they're pro-life are not really pro-life. They're nothing but a bunch of hypocritical right-wing religious fanatics, and we'll call them whatever we want to call them.
Exactly right. And I'll tell you, I've got about 600 of those quotes
yeah.
in that book.
Right.
This is the disconnect. And this is, again, I'm sorry, it's beyond dishonesty. If you look at the abortion issue in America, poll after poll after poll shows that America is now majority pro-life. And don't take this pro-lifer's position on that. Ask Faye Waddleton of Merrill, who did a press conference last year announcing her own survey that showed that 51% of America is now pro-life. That being the case, how in the world do the news media continue to label pro-lifers as extremists and controversial? Right. And why is it that they continue to promote the pro-abortion position, including federal funding of abortion and notification of parents for teenage children who are pregnant, et cetera, et cetera? How come they continue labeling those as mainstream? None of those positions is mainstream. This is the complete reversal of opinions. This is where, you know, George Orwell would love the press today.
Yeah, right.
Newspeak, black is white, white is black.
1984. Right. Now, you talk about the declining audience for the mainstream media, the major news, evening news broadcasts are losing audience. But, of course, there's been such a diversification of opportunities.
Right.
You now have literally hundreds of radio stations you could listen to over the web,
right,
if not 1,000. And you've got the Internet and Matt Drudge and of course, Fox News Channel. That's one small chunk of the mainstream media, and it slightly tends conservative. But don't you think the loss of audience is more because of that diversification? For example, ABC, NBC, they've lost sitcom audiences also, not just news audience. I'm not quite as optimistic as you are
let me first be a realist on this.
Yeah.
They still dominate. There's no question but that right now they dominate.
Yeah, O'Reilly's audience is like a drop in the bucket compared to the evening news broadcast.
Yes, I mean, ABC, NBC, CBS collectively have 30 million. O'Reilly has 2.
Right.
That's the perspective that we're putting things in. Now, having said that, the networks have lost 50% of their audience since 94. CNN is in a complete free fall. MSNBC is so far back you can't even find it in the ratings anymore.
Right. When MSNBC tries, when they try adding conservative shows, which they've done in the last year or two, it hasn't hardly given them even a bump in the ratings.
Well, it has because if people have left the network, they're not coming back because of one show.
Right.
And one show is not going to change the whole culture of MSNBC.
Right. That's
Here's the problem that they have. It's not just competition. That's what they say. They mention everything that you've mentioned. Now, I add to that, wait a minute. If that were true, if it were just competition, how do you explain Fox? In market economics, if there are 10 products on the market and there are way too many of the same product on the market, and the Widget Corporation comes along and says, here is the 11th product that's the same thing, it's never going to stand a chance in the marketplace of ideas.
But
why is it that Fox is the only network that's growing by leaps and bounds, and they're all losing it?
Well,
it's not just competition. It's a different product.
Brent, just real quickly, let me give you an alternative analysis of that, though. If a brand new news network came out, conservative like Fox, it wouldn't do as well as Fox has done. It couldn't, because the people who are avid news, they're news fanatics, and they lean conservative, they've made Fox make a dent, and now they're spoken for. If
if that were true, you wouldn't have a job today. That's what was said 12 years ago about Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, good point.
That's what they said. Rush Limbaugh saturated the market.
Rush,
when he had 18 million listeners, and then a whole alphabet soup of talk show hosts came, and you guys, and everybody's doing well, and he's at 21 million.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point. Rush Limbaugh, and he paved the way for 1,000 local conservative talk show hosts across the country.
I think, frankly, and I love Rush, and he's a friend. He is the pioneer in all of this. He is the number one big banana. But don't forget, you guys, in every town in America, there is a version of Rush Limbaugh. There is a market demand for this. In my book, I'm predicting there'll be other networks. There'll be other conservative networks. And there's plenty of room for them.
Well, we'll see.
More than 3 million conservatives in America.
Just to let you know, in Denver here, we're on 50,000 watts low on the AM dial, 670. This KLTT is one of the top 10 most powerful stations in the whole country. But I know you've got to run, Brent Bozell, but this book of yours, Weapons of Mass Distortion, The Coming Meltdown of the Liberal Media, we're all for it. And we'll cheer it if it happens. We're just a little bit less optimistic.
And I mark my words, we'll all celebrate. But in the meantime, put your hard hat on because they're out to get you.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Oh, one last question. I had told the audience I'd ask you. When the mainstream media talks about neutrality and they're not biased, we've made the point here for years that the media should never be neutral on any matter of right and wrong. For example, neutral reporting on the Nazis versus the Allies would have been evil. And so when you begin to claim neutrality on issues that deal with right and wrong, you immediately undermine goodness in society.
Exactly, Bob. And that's why this is what happens when you live in a moral relativistic society where there is no right and wrong. That's why Reuters, after 9/11, came out and said that they were going to refuse to use the word terrorist because, and this is the direct quote, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Right. And, you know, it's so easy to show that nations, if they have just cause, they can go to war and start killing people. But individuals and organizations within nations don't have the authority to go around the world and start killing people. They're not nations. They don't have the authority that nation states have. And so a terrorist is somebody without the authority of the government who begins killing people for his own political purposes. It's pretty easy to define a terrorist.
You know, but in that moral relativistic world where they don't want to take sides, it sure doesn't apply to things like smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Fur.
What a good point. That stuff is evil.
Or saying the Our Father in church.
Well, let me ask you this, Brent Bozell. On Fox News, their number one guy is Bill O'Reilly.
Uh-huh.
I've been on his show a couple times. And Fox is considered to be so conservative. He's the number one show. But when we analyze his position, I mean, he's against the death penalty, pro-evolution, against spanking, pro-choice. He supports homosexual adoption of children. Generally, he's pro-homosexual rights. He supports... it's just a mess as far as a right-wing conservative Christian looks at him. He's a liberal.
He's pro-environment.
Yeah.
Environmentalist.
Right. And we love the environment, but he has too much support for the radical environmentalist. So
that is his position, and that's why there's no way that you can shoehorn Bill O'Reilly as a conservative. And he'll be the first to tell you. You know, we're not talking behind his back.
Yeah.
He'll be the first to tell you exactly that. Which is another reason why the left is just cockamamie when they point to him as being one of the examples of the conservatives.
Yeah, you know,
to them, a conservative is anyone who isn't as liberal as they are.
Yeah, that's true. And when Bill O'Reilly started on Fox, the Clintons are in office, and he was openly criticizing Bill and Hillary, and so all the conservatives just flocked to him and assumed he's a conservative leader just because he criticized Hillary. And so,
that's true. That's true. He's not very predictable. He's not nearly as predictably conservative as say, Sean Hannity is. But, you know, all of this is irrelevant in the sense that the left goes after Fox because of Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity.
Right.
Aha, see, look at these conservatives. What the left isn't saying, and they know this full well, is that neither Bill O'Reilly nor Sean Hannity is a news reporter. They have nothing to do with the news media. They have nothing to do with Fox News. They're commentators. As such, they have not just the right, but the obligation to be opinionated.
Yeah, and Brent Bozell, in the back cover of your book, you've got an endorsement from one of the guys who I just love dearly, David Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh's brother. Do you know Dave? We've had him on the show. Do you know him well?
One of my favorite people.
He's just a brilliant guy, insightful, and we need more David Limbaughs in the world.
The guy is an absolute saint of a human being.
Yeah.
One of the most humble people that you'll ever meet. And I'll tell you something else, and you know, irony of ironies, that pompous Rush Limbaugh is also one of the most humble people you'll ever meet.
He's humble. Well, that's good to hear. You know, when he came out of treatment and he went on the air and he said, well, I know how to lick this. They told me I have to be true to myself. Sirens went off here at Denver Bible Church in our show. That's the psychobabble that has failed hundreds of thousands of people. It's not to be true to yourself.
Yes, that's true. And the same sirens went off in my head.
He's
up to somebody who's in therapy.
Yeah, and now he's tragically announced his divorce. You know, I've been divorced. Divorce is a huge tragedy. But I'm worried for Rush. I fear for him. I hope David Limbaugh has a good opportunity to help his brother.
And people should continue praying for Rush. You know, they look at all the odds of what happens with remission. I'm not suggesting or predicting or anything of the sort with Rush.
No.
But the pressure's on, and just because he came out of rehab doesn't mean that the pressure stopped.
Right. L. Brent Bozell, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. We appreciate him writing this book, Weapons of Mass Distortion. You can get it anywhere, any major bookstore, or online at Amazon.com. Any of your favorite book outlets, Weapons of Mass Destruction by L. Brent. Look at that. I missed my opportunity to ask him, what did the L stand for? I've wondered that for 20 years. 20 years! His, what was that? Media Watch. All the years I read Media Watch, the newsletter, and what's L stand for? Okay, let's see here. L. Brent Bozell, the third. Weapons of Mass Distortion, The Coming Meltdown of the Liberal Media, published by Crown Forum. If you get it, you'll enjoy it. You'll love it. And call us in and give us your favorite quote from the book. Call us up. Okay, the Denver Post. The Denver Post, front page article today, Patriot Act provision survives. All right, and they're republishing this from the New York Times. Remember the New York Times and their November 2nd, 1997 article that Kay Howe's Peter Boyles said could never have existed? That I read most of it on the air yesterday. We ran out of time on that program yesterday. And in about a week or two, maybe 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, I'm going to we'll represent that article. And we'll do a better job with it. And maybe somebody can invite Peter Boyles to tune in. We'll let you know what day that show's going to air. We'll have to email him the article, too. He said he'd look into it. And I don't really have a lot of faith in his following up on that. Because he likes to undermine the existence of right and wrong. Say that right and wrong doesn't really have much to do with when women kill their children. It's probably just the sickness. See, and that's fundamental liberalism. A denial of sin, the sin nature, the fall, that mankind is in rebellion against God, and that's why there's so much suffering and pain in the world. That's why. Anyway, this Denver Post reprint of the New York Times article says the library proposal in Congress would have barred the federal government from obtaining library records in terrorist investigations. And they say the library provision granting the government that power has become the most widely attacked element of the law of the Patriot Act. Well, why doesn't we had a conservative right winger call in a few weeks ago, remember, and just hated the Patriot Act and said something like it says, if you're a Christian, you're a terrorist. And I invited him to get the act, get it off the internet, call in and call in the section that says that. Of course, it doesn't say that. But anyway, why didn't the Denver Post or the New York Times find at least one paragraph to point out that the government, if you're doing a murder investigation, you're able to get phone records, credit card records, utility records, library records of somebody who might have killed a little girl. And so they just fixed that oversight with regards to terrorism. We couldn't have done that for Muhammad Atta. Hey, we're out of time. Come to Denver Bible Church and go to kgov.com, kgov.com.